Fly in an amazing frontline spot right here on Whitman Road at the flight line, right in front of the Air Operations Center between Vintage and the Papa II Taxiway, where all the cool airplanes come strolling by into Boeing Plaza. And what a day it is today. Boy, we've had some activity out here today. And we will continue to have activity out here today as we get ready for the big air show that will be Tuesday. And the Adventures of Aviar is performing today at, from what I understand, 450 or so. 450. And then what other days, Nate Hammond, are you guys performing?
So we're also flying on today, Tuesday, Thursday as well, and then Sunday to help close out the show. So we're going to be here all week long. Three times you're going to see us flying.
Oh, that's awesome. So when we went to the break, we were talking about the Sevely Brothers. Now, Billy Wirth is also part of the group as well. And Billy, tell us a little bit about yourself. What did you do before to get your start in air shows? First of all, where are you from?
I live in close to Kokomo, Indiana. My house-painted job is as a reservist out of Grissom Reserve Base.
Okay.
You guys remember the big tanker flybys we did last year?
Yeah.
So I was involved in that, too. So I've been, you know, here on the civilian side and the military side, which is a lot of fun.
So, and you do your own air show stuff, and what kind of airplane?
I've got a Pitts S2C.
Oh, very cool. So, you got into this boondoggle somehow, and I'm guessing it was Nate Hammond calling you on the phone.
Yeah, exactly. What's kind of cool about this community being like-minded, if any one of these guys called, and like Nate did, he goes, hey, there's something I want to run by you. I didn't know what it was. I texted yes. I didn't even ask him what it was. I was like, yeah, I'm on board.
That's
whatever
you
want
to do.
That's
because you don't have to wear the tight suit.
Well, I hadn't factored that in. I hadn't thought that far ahead, but I was, yeah. Exactly.
So you jumped on board right away, not even before yep. he asked. Where did it go from there?
Well, like Nate said, the big picture idea, the emails back and forth, the storyboards, which that part of the component of this is, I think, what makes it really interesting.
Let's talk about that. Talk us through the storyboard ideas.
So most of the time, you're not going to have a storyboard for an act like this. You're going to have an Oresti diagram. It's on one piece of paper. But this took more creativity, and there was more of the theatrical component to it, which I think makes it really unique to a lot of the stuff that goes on here at Oshkosh, what it's nice to add to that. So, I mean, you're talking about like a cartoon storyboard. This is what's going to happen next, and this is after this. So I think that's what kind of piqued my interest about it.
So how does that work? Because you guys all live in different places. So
technology is wonderful.
So are you, what technology are you using to storyboard together in different places?
Well, we went really high tech, and we got some printer paper, and I got my crayons out, and we stick drew all the airplanes in different colors so that we would know who was who.
You're being serious?
I am absolutely serious. Okay. It started off with my kids' crayons. And we came up with three or four pages of storyboards and went from there. And we tweaked it constantly. You know, we started off with a general idea and started to tighten it up. And then when we went and had our training camp in Kansas City, we tightened it up even more, changed the storyboards a little bit. That way we always had the storyboards that we could refer back to. That way, when we had to bring in somebody new, like when we brought in Gordon for the pyro side, and when we brought in Dion, Luke Carrico was able to just to forward those on to them, and they were able to read through the storyboards, listen to the production track that, you know, we had a rough cut of the music and the narration, and they could immediately, within 6 minutes of listening to the track, know exactly what we were going for, that we were pushing EA, that we were pushing Avior, and that Gordon would know what to do and how to make it lively with what, 400 or 500 pounds of fun out there in the pyro field.
Yeah, and we are definitely going to talk to him in a minute about that. Billy, we want to go back to Billy because I want to find out where you got your start in aviation, Billy, before we move on to pyro.
Oh, I actually started, I kind of grew up in an Air Force family. My dad retired as a colonel in the Air Force, so I was well behaved, as you can imagine.
No. You moved around a lot, I'm sure.
Yeah, oh, sure. We lots of moves. I think 19 moves total for the entire family.
Wow.
Then I went to Indiana State University, went through their flight program. And then instructed for a while, and then I joined the Grissom unit after my dad was there, actually. My dad flew A-10s there, and then the A-10s left. 2 years later, I rolled in as a tanker toad and kind of picked up where he left off. So.
Well, I'm excited, as a lot of people here. Is it when you stop flying in the military side? Well, you may still do. I don't know.
I'm actually still in.
But the fact that you're still involved in general aviation is fantastic. You know, a lot of airline pilots, they don't get near the GA side and the performing side. And there's a lot of fun to be had out here doing this kind of stuff that's so different from what you would do in the military or what you would do in any other segment of life. So,
I completely agree. It's nice, and we're all airline guys also, and it's really nice to sit in a cockpit with another airline guy and talk about general aviation stuff, because it's like, okay, this guy didn't forget why he got into this in the first place. We got into this because we love flying,
right?
Not necessarily because I love driving a big bus carrying people around, right? Well, which is a great way to do it and great way to earn a living, but you know, just to be out enjoying the freedom of flying, you know, by yourself, it's awesome.
Well, I guess if everybody who is in the cockpits of airliners loved general aviation, there would be no airliners flying this week. So
well, that's true. Everybody to call it.
Everybody be on sick leave. Yeah, they all be here. Anyway, well, fantastic. That's just great. And congratulations on putting all that together. And we really do want to talk about this pyro. And whose idea was it to bring pyro in, Nate?
We got to give that to Dennis Dunbar. When we pitched the act, we wanted just, you know, 4 minutes in the box so that we could show Avior, so that we could show EAA. And Dennis was like, you know, what we really need are explosions. And we need a lot of explosions. And I said, okay, hey, I have no problem with that. And ran it past the rest of the crew. And they said, yeah, more's better. And so that's when we got the pyro involved.
Now, is there pyro in the storyboards at all?
So,
or is this kind of just an adaptation?
It's a little bit of an adaptation. So when you read the latest edition, number 4, that just came out, it's available online. I think it's in the August edition of Sport Aviation as well, that you can pick up here on site. The bad guy, if you will, is Rainmaker. That has a weather manipulation device that is creating thunderstorms and damaging Capital City. So we needed somehow to represent thunder. Now, how do you make thunder at an air show? Well, you call the pyro guys and say, hey, can you make something that goes pop really loud for us? And Gordon was able to just pick that up and run with it and adapt and make the story just that much better.
So I don't even know where to start when it comes to pyro. Like, how does a guy even get interested in pyro? Is it a military job that you then carry into civilian life? Or is it just a kid who loves firecrackers? Or, I mean, how do you evolve into doing pyro?
Well, it's kind of a long story.
We have 5 minutes.
Is it longer than five minutes?
Oh, okay.
But to really put it short, a former boss of mine called me up one day and asked me if I would be interested in doing an air show in Muskegon, Michigan back in 1988. And I went and played with Dynamite and had the best seat at an air show that money really can't buy. And I've been doing it ever since. So I've got a lot of time out there in the pyro field getting the just fantastic views of air show activity.
So do you start out doing, like, commercial explosive work, like blowing up, like, mines? Or, I mean, you have to have a license to get dynamite, right?
Well, yes, I have several ATF licenses and all of those kind of credentials. But basically, because our work is so specialized, it's really a lot of tribal knowledge. We've developed some processes and have tested them and then bring them to the pyro field and provide that safe excitement that augments these guys and the great job that they do in the air.
So the storyboard comes to you and you're like, easy, hard, middle of the road? Is this a big project or is this something you were like, oh, we can eat, this is right up our alley?
Well, it's right up our alley because, you know, when you talk about big, I've done a 16,000 foot long wall of fire, and after that it takes a lot to get big, okay? So with this, it was pretty easy. They're going, oh, you want thunder? I can make noise. Oh, you want fire? Yeah, we can do that. And so we're going to fit that into the performance and see if we can add that extra element of excitement to just put a punctuation to it all.
Now, I'm thinking like maybe our listeners are right now, and one of the things that I always wonder about, and everyone probably does, is what are your concerns with the smoke? Like, how do you handle, is that taken into account with you guys flying around the smoke? You know, how do you organize between the two of you? Like, where are you going to put it, or how you're going to organize your show so that you're not IFR in smoke? You know, that kind of thing.
Well, given that I'm on the ground, I can kind of say it's not my problem. But, you know, I can turn a field IFR at any given time.
And
These guys are some of the best that you're going to find anywhere, and I know that they can handle it. So, you know, it's never the same twice, even though we may repeat the performance, but
the wind changes,
the weather is going to change that. And I know that these guys are going to know I'm going to deliver a safe performance for them and not put them in jeopardy, and I know they're going to do a great job in the air.
So, guys, let's Nate, let you address that.
So from the flying standpoint, we set up very strong covenants, you know, contracts amongst all the pilots that we know where each other will be at all time, and we make sure that we have visual confirmation. And if I don't see the other guy on the other side of the box, then we go to our designated safe areas. It's always built in that way so that there is never a chance that we'll have a conflict. And that starts off on the ground, where you'll see us out there on the ramp. We'll be hand flying. We'll be doing the dance where we all stand together with our hands out like an airplane, and we practice our maneuvers so that we absolutely know what I'm going to do and what Billy's going to do and what the Shetterlys are going to do, so that everybody is in concert with each other, and it makes it safe. And secondly, it makes it safe. And thirdly, it makes it safe. That's the whole goal there, is safe.
Awesome. Well, guys, thanks so much for joining us today. I know you're busy as heck this week. And Nate, the shows, real quick, recap when your shows are.
Once again, we're flying today 4:51 today on Tuesday. We're flying again Thursday, and we're flying again Sunday.
Perfect. Guys, thank you so much for joining us on EA Radio today. We're going to take a break, and then DTG Pyro is here, and I know they're working heavily with you, and we're going to talk to them for a little while about their role out here during the show.
Oh, fantastic. They're a great partner to work with, and I look forward to working with them out in the field. They do a great job.
Fantastic. Jay Munchie, we're on the fly down here at the Air Operations Center talking about the adventures of Aviar and some other things, some surprises coming up before the end of this hour, so stick around. You're listening to EAA Radio.